So this morning, we're continuing our series, Halos and Hormones. So Proverbs, we're turning to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs is a book of what? Wisdom. Thank you. It is a book of wisdom. And it has something to say about marriage. I remember the first time I read this scripture, I took it to my father and said, Daddy, how? Jesus, Lord, why was this never taught in Sunday school? He said, be quiet and read the epistles. And so we're going to be talking about, like we've already said, we're going to be talking about husbands and wives this morning. Single people, you listen. There'll be some advice in here for you. But for the majority, we're going to talk to married couples. Hello. If anybody should have good marriages, it should be the church.
Amen.
And I know, let's just go ahead and get this subject out of here. We're going to be talking about sex this morning to some degree. You know, there used to be a song. I'm not going to sing it. And so we're going to discuss that. And I think if anyone's going to be having it good, it should be the church. No married, no men getting up and high-fiving, nothing? Okay, I thought I'd probably get a little bit. All the guys are like, I'm not saying nothing. Everybody's all nervous now. Now that we got that out of the way, I can preach. All right, have you found Proverbs chapter 5 in verse 15? We're going to start there. It says, drink out of thine own cistern. 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 We're not in Alabama or Arkansas. Joking. I can do that. I'm Southern. We can make those jokes. You cannot. Northern people cannot make those jokes. That was Southern jokes, and we're the only ones allowed to laugh at them. And running water out of thine own well. Now, I want you to know something here. This is talking about wives. Now, we talk about husbands. Well, in verse 16 and verse 18 is dealing with wives. They're called wells and cisterns. Now, in verse 16, the husbands are called a fountain. And, if we're going to just get into all the symbolism here, in verse at the end of verse 16 and also into verse 17, it says, thy rivers of waters in the streets and all this kind of stuff. Let's talk about children. And so we're dealing with husbands, we're dealing with wives, and we're dealing with children in this scriptures here. And I just want you, because it can be confusing if you don't understand what we're talking about. Now, there's a difference between a cistern and a well. Now, a cistern, now this is interesting, is a covered well. It is a covered well. It is a well that has, and can I just say this too? I didn't know that this was not known. I thought that y'all all knew this. And I hate that a Southern has to stand up here and teach you measurements, but I would say buttload, and people thought I was being a little vulgar talking about your rear end. A buttload is a barrel, people. A butt is a barrel. It was used to hold wine in England. Sadler, last name, comes from England. Hello. And I forgot how many gallons it is. It's about 126, somewhere up in there, I forget. But a buttload is an actual measurement. It's not your rear end. I was not being vulgar. So let's go ahead and clear that all up. Someone messaged me this week and said, you know, what do you say? And I'm here. And then I sent them a Wikipedia page showing them what the measurement and where the word comes from. I guess I should have thought about that, but I just thought y'all all knew. So we have a well that is covered. And then it's talking about the wife, covered well, and then a well. And then, you know, verse 16, let's go into verse 16. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and the rivers of water in the streets. Verse 17, and let them only be, let them be only thine own. Now we're talking about children, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountains be blessed and rejoice with thee, the wife of thy youth. Now this word rejoice here. Oh, I should have said this as well. If you're sitting by your parents and you need to move, go ahead. We'll give you time now. The word rejoice here is Hebrew word samach. I didn't do the proper roll there. So, you got to clear your throat. And it actually, this word rejoice, we find a lot of the times when it is mentioned, the majority of times when this word of rejoice is mentioned, is talking about rejoicing unto the Lord. It is more of a spiritual praise of rejoice than just a physical praise. But can I tell you something? When you have a spiritual praise, it becomes a physical praise.
Amen.
It's impossible to have a praise on the inside of you from the God who created heaven and earth and that not leak its way out. It takes much more discipline to keep a spirit of praise down on the inside of you than to let it go. But God meant for you to praise him in such manner. But get this now. I'm going to say this. The second greatest covenant you can ever get into. Your first one, we all know, with the Lord Almighty. The second greatest covenant you can get into is with the person that you call husband or wife. That is the second greatest covenant on the face of the earth. And I take that covenant, and you should take that covenant as great as you do the one you have with the Lord. Amen. It is a serious deal. We have come to a place in our society where it's nonchalant. It is a nonchalant thing, not a big deal. And if I don't like what they have to say or do, then forget it. Let's just go on. We'll just ignore this. We won't deal with this. Unless, you know, well, the thing is, you've got to have a great relationship. You've got to work on it. And I'll tell you what, and you too, you both of you need to get yourself together and get in one accord in agreement. Because I'm going to tell you something, when your life with Jesus, when your life with God is out of accord, it is not as good as it could be when you're in agreement with him. Your marriage will never be as good as it could be until you get in agreement. And can I say this? If your agreement goes against the word of God, your agreement is wrong. How do you judge your marriage? You go into God's word. If it violates the word, it's wrong. I don't care what kind of spin you put on it. I don't care how you lie to yourself and try to make yourself feel like better by trying to come into justifying things that are wrong. It's still wrong. And you can talk and try to convince yourself and listen to the world and go to Cosmo or Men's Magazine or whoever else, co-workers, that will give you advice that go contrary to the Word of God, doesn't change the fact that it's wrong. At least, you know, the world talks about be real, be real. At least be real with yourself. Amen. At least be real with yourself. Amen. So many people lie to their own self. Well, this is just, no. And so, but anyway, let's get into it. And I want to talk about this to children. You know, I read this and, you know, because I if there's stuff that I am about to say that I've never heard another preacher say before, I Google it to see if anybody else has some mentality or some teaching on it. And if I can't find an answer then, I will also call a couple of other ministers and ask them questions. And I love this. Out of this scripture, one person even put up there, well, what does it mean, you know, when it talks about the children and it says of your own, does that mean that in a marriage that somebody had kids before, does that mean that's not their kids? No. I don't want you to even get off on that mentality. First of all, let's talk about it like this, and this makes so much sense. In this day and age, your children should not be strangers apart from you. You should know your own kids and have a relationship with your kids. And men, don't use an excuse of your work to put a separation from knowing your children and doing things, or working around the house, or all this. Now, I understand every person, husband and wife, is going to need a break from those little terrorist until you train them correctly. There, and that is a definition of terrorism. They will hold you captive. They will hold you captive, and they will even threaten you in non-threatening ways, but they mean every bit of it. They will threaten you, and your job is we do not negotiate with terrorists. I have told my kids, I do not negotiate. Daddy, let's do this or this is going to happen. I do not negotiate with terrorists. Go to your room. And so what it means is we should not have excuses to put a separation between us and our children because they may be dealing with something we don't like or know how to deal with, so we ignore it. Yet that always works. Let's always ignore problems because when we ignore them, they just automatically fix themselves. I hope you read into the sarcasm at that moment. And no, we don't ignore them. Now, we may not know how to deal with them, but you know what? Who does? The Lord knows how to deal with them. We have to make ourselves available. And can I tell you this too? This is another reason. I'm just apologizing to teenagers in advance, but I do not understand this whole mentality. My privacy, my privacy. Do you pay a mortgage? There is no privacy. In my house, doors were a privilege. And doors got taken off the hinges if you lost your privileges. Now, and also my house windows were allowed to be nailed shut. And I remember one person said, but that's a fire hazard. Well, then you might die. But your soul's going to heaven. I'm not recommending that. That is, no, I'm not recommending it, but I'm telling you that's the mentality of my household that I grew up in. They're here like, you know, you want your window that opens? All right, behave. Follow the rules and your window will open. You want a door on your hinges? Well, then follow the rules and you'll get a door. You don't want us to go through your stuff? Buy yourself a home. Like, this is our stuff. But I paid with it my own money. I'm charging you rent. I am confiscating all this stuff. My house, my daddy always told us that we were not a democracy. We were not a republic. He ruled the roost and whatever he said goes. Him and my, and he said, we can vote on it. But, you know, there was 5 people in the house, but he said his vote counted as 20. So we could vote on it at any time. Parents, with your kids, know your children. And each kid is different. I know that sounds crazy. I remember being told, kids are different from birth. I'm like, whatever, they're a sack of potatoes. They drool. I mean, they can't do much. They just, you know, roll around. If they can't, they can't even do that at the beginning. But my Lord, when we had our second, I'm like, holy mess, it is so true. From birth, these children are so different. And so we got to know our kids. We've got to take time with our kids. Fathers, I would recommend you taking your daughters on dates. Mothers, I would recommend your sons taking you out on a date. I would recommend these things. Teach them how. They don't sit at the horn and honk. No, when I took Eliana out on a date, I go out back, walk around the front, ring the doorbell, meet the mother. Probably a little inappropriate. I kissed the mother too. But I took Eliana on a date. They need to learn from you because the world will teach them. And the world will teach them anti-God ways of living. And it's not really the world's fault. They just do what they do. That's just the way they live. And we shouldn't expect it to be any different. That's the way they live. So we have to not be strangers with our own children and raise them in the ways that they should be living so that they know God. We can't force them to know God, but we create an atmosphere for them to live in the presence of God. And let me tell you, once they've lived in the presence of God, if they ever get out of it, they'll know it.
That's right.
They will know that there is a difference. And so when we get married, it should be something that is rejoicing. The same rejoices that rises up on the inside of us when we praise God. Because it is a godly covenant that God Himself created. Now, I went back to the cistern. We talked about that being a covered well. And so let's go in there. There's a lot of types and shadows in this whole deal. Ladies, you are a covered well. I'm not telling you what to wear. I'm not a clothesline. You know, I'm not going to give you measurements and all that kind of stuff. But what I am telling you, there's only one person to open that well. And it ain't your ex. It ain't your boss. It ain't anything for you to get a boost in your own emotional psyche. Be like, I don't know if anyone loves me. So, you know, no. It's for your husband. Not for your fiance. And they'll be like, well, we had our own wedding. No, you did not. You lie. You did not have your own wedding. You invite your family and you before God and the government because they want their slice of it too. They're going to tax you for it. Government's always going to get theirs. It's true. Now, so it's not for your neighbor. It's not for the milkman. It's not for all these. It's for your husband. And you are to cover, lock down. I don't know if you've ever watched Tyler Perry, but he goes clink, clink. I like that. Yeah, you know, lock it down. You're not to expose yourself except to your husband. Hello to your fountain. All right, let's move on. I love watching people elbow each other. This is awesome. So I know you're getting it. All right. And so in this bit, notice that both the husband and the wife are dealing with something that flows with water. So I will say this, husbands, it is not just your wife, she's the well that satisfies your, no, you satisfy each other's. And we're talking about sex, but we're talking about more than that. Mentally, you should be compatible. You should stimulate each other mentally. You should like hanging out with each other. And that might be a problem for some marriages in the church community. I'm not talking about our church. We all have perfect marriages, right? But in the church as a whole, that might be a problem. I have found husband and wife, some of them that don't like to hang out with each other. Actually, hate the idea of being together. Won't even go on vacation because they're here like, that will be hell. I can't escape them. We're everywhere together. That should not be. That should not be. And if that is where you know somebody that's in that position, you need to encourage them to work on it. And can I tell you this too? It's not going to change overnight, because for the majority of the chances is it didn't happen overnight for you to get there. It didn't happen overnight for you to get there. And so you've got to work on it. And if you are both, let me say this too, if you're both godly people, if you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, there is no reason for two couples, a husband and a wife, to get a divorce that have the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. There's no reason for it. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but there is no reasoning for it. If we're led by the Spirit of God and we all walk out the Spirit, the life of God has on the inside of us, we can work through this.
Amen.
High five.
Amen.
I just feel really quiet in this, church this morning. But let's get back into the Word. We're going to continue to talk about this. Verse 19. Have you found 19 yet? Woo! I know, right? Verse 19. And let her be as a loving hind. And again, go back to the buttload reference. This is not talking about a rear end. Okay? This is not talking about, what was that exercise that woman had with that thing she squeezed? Thigh Master. We're not talking about Thigh Master here. A loving hind. Be like, I told you to buy that video. No. This is talking about an animal. There's a different translation. We'll talk about it in just a second. Or a pleasant roe. Now, God's Word translation puts it this way. A loving doe or a graceful deer. But if you actually look up roe, that word roe is not even a deer. It's actually a goat. And actually a female goat, to say that. But it talks about, if you go back into this time, it was creatures. Have you ever watched a deer run? It's just a beautiful thing. They're just graceful. They're just beauty. And so when it comes in here as a pleasant, it actually, that word pleasant means the word grace, graceful, graceful. And so what we're talking about here is that your love for each other should be beautiful.
Amen.
It should be grace. It should be something that moves so smoothly, so loving, so amazing. I'm not saying you're not going to have hangups. I've seen a deer fall. But you know what the deer does? It gets up and runs again. It runs again. Doesn't say it doesn't stumble, but the deer runs again. Your love should be graceful. The world should look at your love and say, oh, that's nice. And I'm not saying you got to do a lot of PDA, public displays, you ain't got to do all that. But your love for each other should be graceful. And like I said, going back to the rivers and the fountains, you should be supplying each other's needs on a lot of levels. And this is it too. You understand this in marriage, you might want everything to be 50-50 and you split everything up, but then you come to a realization that it's never going to be 50-50 like that when it comes to all that. You find things that you do that the other one hates and the other one hates and you do and you just work it out. And you could have this kind of, well, I'll cut, in my father's, in their marriage, it was, he did everything outside. Mom did most of the stuff inside that she couldn't put us into slavery and cause us to also do. They used to work us like horses inside and outside. And that's all right. And I told my mother and father when I had kids, I was going to do the same thing. And I'm planning on it. They're not old enough yet, but I'm planning on working them. But in all of this, your marriage will look different than my marriage. And my marriage looks different than my father's marriage and mother's marriage. And they work out what works with them. But one does not take advantage of the other either. Hello?
Amen.
We should be a constant supply to each other and refreshing. You need to look at your spouse and say, let's go on vacation. All right, let's continue to read. This is where we're getting even to a better part. Are y'all ready? So we said, let her be as loving hind and a pleasant doe. Continue to read. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times. Can I say this really quickly here? How many times? Now, you think I'm going, I know where you think I'm going with this, and you're wrong. I'm not going to that. And what I mean by this is she is the only one. Hello? There is no side. Mm-mm. There's, and that's for both people. There is no one on the side. Be like, well, I've heard such, not from the church, but I have, you're in body of Christ long enough, you hear the most stupidest people trying to justify how they live. Well, I didn't sow my wild oats as a child. Well, good for you. You should continue not to sow those wild oats, because you know what you get? Horrible crops. You should continue to sow godly seed and continue to have godly harvest. And husbands, you're the only one that can meet, in God's rules, your wife's needs. All of them. Emotionally, physically, all of them. Wives, you are the only one that can meet your husband's needs. Emotionally, physically, all of it. You know, I used to, I think this goes back to religion when you hear the scripture use, because it tells husbands and wives, the Bible tells husbands and wives, that the question comes up, hey, can I fast from being from my spouse if it is to focus on God? So can I say to my spouse, hey, for a month, let me find my spouse because I'm looking at other people that probably shouldn't go with. For a month, I'm going to fast from meeting all the needs. I don't care what it is, physical, emotional, all this. I'm taking a month and I'm going to spend all my time with Jesus. And you know, naturally, that sounds pretty spiritual, doesn't it? God actually commands you to never do that if the other person is not okay with it. The Word of God commands you not to. Oh, can't use that one as an excuse. Because that sounds pretty holy. It sounds, and it's been used to cause separation between people. And then justification when the other person gets mad. And listen, the other person can't compete with God. There is no competition there. God always wins. And then if the other spouse doesn't want that to happen, then they feel condemned because they feel like they're trying to stop you from getting closer to God. And they feel like a jerk to begin with. Hello? And God says never to do that. And then it says, lest they be tempted. Now, my church I grew up in taught this way. Oh, they'll be tempted to leave you. Ha! They'll be tempted to go out and get something else. That may actually be some deal to it, or I don't know, but that's not, I mean, that's the least of your worries, really, if you married a godly person. How about this? It tempts them that they're not enough for you. That they can never meet your needs. They can never be enough for you. How about this? They believe they made a mistake. They don't even want to be with me. How about if it's all pointed in, focused at them? Or what about this? Anger to the fact that the other person is separating and putting a wedge in between them. There's a lot more to it than just cheating. There's a lot more to it. And so we do not put our spouses in that type of place. Amen. I'm glad y'all are with me. All right, and let's continue to read. And be thou ravished with her love. That word ravished is awesome here. That word ravished actually means to be intoxicated. And so if I'm going to title this morning, I'm going to call it Drunken Love. You're allowed to be drunk in two ways, the Holy Spirit and in love. You know, we're commanded not to be drunk with wine. We're commanded not to be drunk with alcohol. But we are commanded, by God that we are allowed to be drunk in love. Have you ever met a wino? I don't know. Is that an offensive term? I'm just, from a small town. I don't know. I say stuff and people are like, that's offensive. I'm like, I guess I'm kind of an offensive person. But I remember that we used to have every town pretty much, a small town. They have somebody that is their local drunk, right? And so I remember, and this guy, he would be passed out in the ditch. You would just find him laying in a ditch. And, I remember someone saying they found him in a ditch and they just drug their head and propped it up on the side so that they wouldn't go under the water and kill themselves. So they drug them out onto the sidewalk, put their head in a place they thought would be comfortable. But a drunk, even if they have a job, they're fantasizing. They're about their first drink, licking their lips. They pop the cork and smell that cork. They just want it so bad. They've drank in that bottle of wine 50 times, if not more, before they ever get home. They are intoxicated. It controls them. And I'm not saying that your love for each other should completely, absolutely cause you to be out of your mind, not functioning in society. No, you need to function in society. But I also want to point this out. This a lot of times happens. I've seen this or heard this. Mainly with the husband, and the wife feels like, my husband, he's just a pervert. He was so nice, and then we got married, and that's all he wants. That's all he wants. You're the only one that can give it to him. Hello? And he is drunk. Your husband is not a pervert because he wants to be with you. Hello? That is a natural thing that God has placed. One, you should, you know, if he didn't want you, there should be trouble. That's when we should talk. If you want to have counseling, it's because he doesn't want to be with you. It's not the other way around. It is perfectly fine for your husband to want to be with you. I don't know. Maybe call. Now, you know, I talked about, you know, the word versus personal opinion. You know, if he texts you or calls you, that's okay. He wants to be with you. And he's ready to come home to be with you. All right. Y'all are good this morning. All right, we're going to get into verse 20. And so there's nothing wrong with your husband or your wife. If it is your wife, give somebody a high five. Now, I do want to be very clear here, because this is mistaken a lot. A lot of times in the world, people will use sex as love. Like, he loves me, or she loves me. I want to feel loved. I've heard that before. I just want to feel loved. Now, yes, sex is an expression of love, but sex is not love. Okay? If you are in love with your spouse, sex is a sign that you are in love and that you love one another, but it is not love. Okay? An apple tree is an apple whether it has apples on it or not. Apples are just an expression of what the tree is. And never confuse that fact, because people that are single will get in a rut and in a mistake here if they associate sex with love. That sex is love. Yes, it is associated, but sex is not love. The act of it is because of love. And can I say this too? When done biblically, marriage is an amazing thing. And having children, and I've had this question come up to me. Well, children are a blessing from God, and I messed up. So this is a blessing, and I don't know how to associate my kid being a blessing, but did it outside the will of God. Okay, kids are blessings. They are absolutely blessings from the Lord. But I want to be very clear here. There's a godly way of doing it. And I had a person in my family that got pregnant out of wedlock. Got pregnant out of wedlock, and they called me crying. Nobody is rejoicing with me. Nobody's celebrating with me. Family's just telling me what I did wrong. I don't know what to do. And you're going to cry. All right. Emotions, all this. But I mean, it can be devastating, especially when the world is like, oh, everything's natural. Everything's good. Everything's all right. Do whatever you want. Whatever feels good. But this is the case. God has a plan for children. And God, now you, this is it. God has a blessing for your life. And you can go about it your way like King Solomon did, or you can go about it God's way. Now, see, the good thing is if you can obtain the blessings that God has for you without God being in it. You can obtain those blessings. But the problem is, let's go back to the word. God, He gives you the blessings. He makes rich and He adds what? No sorrow. When you go outside of God's will, you will add sorrow to your life. And so I told this person, the reason why family's having a hard time celebrating with you is because they recognize now you have some struggles you would not have if you did it the Lord's way. So the problem is not that they're not happy for you, not that they're not going to love the children, not that they're going to not shower this kid with love and affection, but the problem is they know that now you have some problems you're going to have to face, and that's why they're not happy, is you've gone outside of God's plan for your life to try to get His blessing for your life. And so we're happy and we celebrate with you, but we're not happy about some of the problems you're going to have to face. Now, if you're there, we're going to stand with you the whole way.
Amen.
And we're going to try to believe God that the blessing's going to come to you, and we're going to help you in every way we possibly can.
Amen.
But we want everybody, and that's with marriage, everything. Yes. We want it done in God's way,
yes,
because He blesses and He adds no sorrow.
Amen.
Whew, I feel good this morning. Verse 20. Where are we? Verse 20. And wilt thou, my son, be ravished? Now, let me just give you some background here. This word that we're hearing here is to Solomon. Now, Solomon was the wisest man on the face of the earth. But do you know this? He lost it. He lost it. And I've heard this statement said, so King Solomon was the wisest man on the face of the earth. You know how many women King Solomon had in his harem? Over 1,000. The reason some of you said 700, the reason some of you said 300 is because some of you are referring to wives and some of you are referring to concubines. But altogether, he had over 1,000 women. Any man will tell you he lost his wisdom. Yes. He lost his wisdom. I heard people make jokes like, you know why he had over 1,000,000 women? So he could find one happy at least one day a year. No, that's a horrible joke, and I can't believe any of you laughed at it. And so, in all of this, can I tell you something? This is talking to King Solomon. I'll tell you something. You can lose godly wisdom. You can lose it. You can have it one day and you can lose it. King Solomon lost his wisdom and it ended up costing him his life. Now, not that a woman killed him, but he got out of the will of God. He got out of the will of God and it brought death. It brought death to his kingdom. It brought death to the people he was over, all of Israel. It brought death to dreams and visions that the man had. And then eventually it brought him physical death, being outside the will of God. Sin in your life will kill your dreams. It will kill your aspirations. And you may be like King Solomon, looking to fulfill his own desires, trying to get pleasure outside of the will of God. And it may be for a season you're happy with your choice, but eventually it will bring death into your life. I'm not talking about physical death, but it may lead there. But the death it will bring, it will kill families. It will kill dreams. It will kill desires. It will kill goals on the inside of you. But the good news is, just like Elijah, can these bones live with the power of God? All things can be resurrected. So I don't want you to leave this place, oh, it's dead, I've done too much. No. With God, it can live. All right. Whew. So will thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman? All the men said, no. No, an embrace of a stranger, for the ways of men are before the eyes of the Lord. And he pondered all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. He will die for lack of discipline. Oh, what? Do we even know the definition of that word? Discipline. Discipline. Mm. Do we even talk about that this day and age? There should be discipline in our life. And instruction. And in the greatness of his folly, he will go astray and be lost. Verses 20 through 23 goes this way. God sees us in all we do. In all we do. And if we get into sexual perversions, they will hold us. They will put a snare on the inside of us that draw us back. I mean, sexual perversions are the same as any drug or alcohol ever thought about being. It is addictive stuff that can put a snare on the inside of you and hold you captive. Now, the good thing is we have God on the inside of us, and those who are free indeed. Amen. All right, let's turn to Ecclesiastes 7. We're going to go to Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 25. But we're looking at King Solomon here. And Ecclesiastes actually means the preacher. Actually, I guess a direct translation is the man of God, the preacher. And King Solomon here has got a word for people. If anybody's lived through it, he has. And we want to look at some of the things he did here. King Solomon was known for his wisdom. Even history tells us that kings and queens such as in Egypt and all around the world would come to see the wisdom of King Solomon in action. King Solomon did some great things, but I tell you, he was very foolish. And Ecclesiastes lets us see here where he missed it, where he missed the mark. Are you ready? I applied mine heart to know and search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of the foolishness and madness. King Solomon has been warned by his father, has been warned, being told what not to do, how to treat a wife, how to do all this stuff. And all of a sudden he says in his own heart, I am going to look for folly. I am going to experience sin myself. I've been told all of this stuff all my life. I was raised in in church. I was raised with the message. But now I'm going to folly and get into sin for myself. I'm going to seek my own wisdom. I'm going to get out of the plan of God and I'm going to seek my own wisdom. Because, you know, the world tells me a whole lot of stuff. They look happy on televisions and the commercials and the TVs and Modern Family and all these that portray anything can go on and we can just be as happy as all get out and that nothing is going to be the problem. So I'm going to test and see for myself. I'm going to get into my own wisdom. I'm going to get into my own folly, my own silliness, my own wickedness. And he did it. He absolutely did it. And so let's continue to read verse 26. And I find more bitter than death, the woman whose heart is to snare and the net and her hands as bands, or we could say chains. Whoso pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Now look, this perversion, the sinner will be taken by this perversion. But if you want to please God, you must escape that perversion. And if you want this, if among your own home, if you don't break the will of God, the Bible says all things among a married couple is ordained and holy of God. So if you don't break any other commandment or word of God, I mean, there are some very, you know, strict guidelines there that we don't invite other people in. Hello? That's a rule from the Lord. We don't break that. Be like, I thought you said everything was holy. Yes. Between you and your spouse, everything is holy as long as you don't violate God's word anywhere else. Hello? Okay. And so it is holy, but there is a way of trying to find this pleasure in living in this manner. And I've heard people say, well, you know, you've got to shop around. No, you shop around for a car. You don't shop around for a spouse. Not like, I'm not talking about dating. Dating, yes, that's fine. That fulfills a need on the inside of you. It helps you become a better person, honestly, and figure out what you don't want in someone else. Hello? There's a lot of stuff that you learn through that. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is sleeping around. That you do not do. We're like, we just want to know everything fits and clicks and everything works. Well, psh. I've even heard people try to make excuses, be like, well, we've never done anything. We want to make sure on the wedding night we got it. You'll get it down. Trust me. Not rocket science here. You'll figure it all out. You do not have to do that. Honestly, it is ungodly. But this is what it's saying. This is the way the sinner will live. He will fall. He and she will fall into that snare and into that web. They will be chained and locked in it. The sinner will. But those who please God will leave this way. They will live a godly life. They will live in a marriage. They will find pleasure and they will find benefit in a relationship that God has ordained, and there will be no sorrow added. Amen. All right, where did I leave off? What verse? Let's learn, verse 27. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one, to find out the account, verse 28, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. King Solomon had over 1,000 women. Over 1,000 women. And he says, in all of those, I have never found one that I should be with. Never found one. Let me tell you, when you get into your own way of doing things, when you get into your own way of trying to find the way to work it out and come into pleasure of your own way, you got a sad thing mistaken. It will bring more trouble than it will bring good. In the beginning, it may seem like things are rolling quite well in your way, but there will come a point that you will see why God put certain commandments into His Word. It is not to keep us from having a good time or experiencing a great life. It's to keep us in His will, experiencing a great life, and having all the blessings this world has to offer and no sorrow being piled up on our shoulder in it. Mm. That's good preaching. Thank you. And so, let's go to verse 29. Thank you. See, I was making sure you were paying attention. Found somebody that's really holding on to all of this. Lo, this only have I found, that God has made man upright. If you listen to most teaching today in the body of Christ, you wouldn't believe that man was made upright. Man is made for good things. We are made to live holy. But they have sought out many inventions. In other words here, mankind is made to do great things, But they have trouble when they seek their own way of doing things. When they try to find their own way to happiness. When they try to find their own way to the blessings of God and not following God's ways to His blessing, they get in trouble. Now, the right marriage is just as much supernatural as it is natural. I think you should pray for your husband or wife if you're single. I think you should pray for your husband or wife if you're married. But if you're not married, you need to pray about it. You need to pray that God would lead you, guide you, and direct you, that you'll see it. You'll know. It'll be clear to you. Now, we've already talked about it, so I'm not going to go back into a lot of the dating situation and, you know, the myths and is there one, all this kind of stuff. But you find that God will lead you and guide you and direct you. And when you two make a commitment and both your hearts are for God, there is nothing that you can't overcome. I'm not going to tell you that it's not going to be rough or bumpy in some areas. But just like that young doe that tripped, that's so graceful, get back up and be willing to run. That's keep right. Running. Keep being graceful. Marriage is something that is to bless you. Oh, and I didn't say this, but I want to, you know, we went back. Let's jump right back quickly. And we're done. Proverbs chapter 5. We're going to go back to that in verse 19. And let her breast satisfy thee at all time. I almost missed a point here. I want you to know something. Women, your body is just as much as for your own pleasure as it is for his. Men, your body is just as much for your own pleasure as it is for hers. And there's nothing to be embarrassed about. I will tell this story since she's up here and I'm back here. You know, when I got married, this went through my brain. Are you ready for this? This went through my brain. I thought, you know, I didn't go to a big high school, so we didn't all, you know, take showers in front of each other and all this kind of stuff. There was just no public nudity anywhere. So I thought when I was getting married, I'm like, this is going to be weird. You know, this is going to be weird. Just be, you know, everything exposed in front of everybody else. This is going to be weird. I mean, like, am I going to have a problem with this? Can I tell you? Nope. Not an issue. And I want to tell you this. The Bible says when God made Adam and Eve, they were naked and there was no shame among them. That word of shame, if you look it up, can also mean embarrassment. There's no embarrassment in your body. There's no embarrassment in your body. Your body is not something that is evil. It's not something that is dirty. It is not something that is wrong. It is something to be enjoyed in the right circumstances. The uncovered well between the fountain and the well. The husband and the wife. There is nothing that is wrong. There is nothing that is disgusting. There is nothing that is sin among your body. It is meant for both your pleasure. Now, I feel like I can end. And so a marriage is supposed to be a beautiful thing. It is supposed to be very graceful. And it is meant for each other. Physically, spiritually, mentally, you are supposed to compliment and bless each other. And I want to remind you that you're the only one that can. God has placed it so that wives, you're the only one that can take care of all, spiritually, physically, mentally, his needs. Husbands, you're the only one that can biblically take care of your wife's husband's spiritual and physical needs. Let's be mindful of that. You know, the world's better at it than we are. You want to know why? Because they can leave each other. Yeah. They can leave each other, and they recognize that. And so they try to make sure the other one's kept. But in the church, sometimes the spouse will take the mentality, well, they're never going to leave me. And they abuse the spouse, whether it's physically, spiritually, or mentally. They abuse the spouse. And God never meant it to be that way. The world should have no aspects of marriage that is better than the church. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you.